Get 12 weeks of The Spectator in print and online for just £12. And we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher. Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Gus Carter and I'm joined by Katie Balls and Kate Andrews. Kate, you write on Coffee House today that many were expecting a jobs cliff edge in November, around the time the government's furlough scheme formally comes to an end. However, there appears to be evidence that the cliff edge is in fact much closer. Can you tell us what's going on with the UK's job market?
As you say, Gus, everyone's looking to November when the furlough scheme has officially come to an end and employers are expected to pay all of their employees' costs. But today we see Pizza Express closing 67 restaurants, putting more than 1,000 jobs at risk. Curry's PC World axing more than 800 jobs. That's all happened today before noon. And they join a host, really countless companies, yesterday, the day before, and the day before that, who have been announcing major redundancies. And when you start tallying this up, you are looking at a huge number of people unemployed. Now, we all know, tragically, this is coming. The furlough scheme has definitely saved many a job, and it will have also extended many people's jobs, but it can't save every job. The Chancellor made that very clear from the beginning. The fear, of course, is that we're going to be going into very uncertain times in regards to the economy. It's not obvious that employers will be wanting to take on new employees anytime soon and the financial burden and risk that comes with that. So, come November, you may have mass redundancies, but leading up to November, you're also looking at more and more redundancies. And the question is, where do those workers go, especially if people don't feel confident to hire?
Now, Katie, this week saw the beginning of the Chancellor's Eat Out to Help Out scheme. Do you think this will help cushion the economic impact?
I think to a degree. I think ultimately what it's doing is looking at the hospitality industry, which is very summer dependent in terms of customers. As someone who is on their third Eat Out to Help Out at this point, having just returned from Pizza Hut, the local Pizza Express, for hearing about closures, it is not yet open yet. I'm not sure if it's one of those ones that just isn't going to open. But you do get a sense that restaurants are a bit busier than they were a few weeks ago. But it is ultimately a drop in the ocean. What this is doing is, I think, some businesses that have been struggling a little bit, but are not on the brink of closing down, getting a little bit of a boost. I think that if you are a business which is on the brink of closing down, probably having people eat in your restaurant Monday to Wednesday in August, or more people coming in those days, you know, is not going to be the thing that saves it. But I think a lot of what the Chancellor is doing, and I think you can also look at it in the job retainment bonus. So the idea that if you don't let go of employees you have furloughed, if you bring them back, you get this bonus. Now, you've already heard that that's not seen as cost efficient. There was a warning about it when the Chancellor announced it. But I actually think a lot of these things are drops in the ocean, but they're also trying to say, look, we cannot save all these jobs, but just believe us, we want to do what we can, but we're working in a very difficult situation. So I think some of it is signalling, because they just don't think they can continue the emergency measures indefinitely. And I think on furlough, we're going to see more and more redundancies. I think the question is more, you know, are we going to double figure unemployment by November going into, you know, the rest of the year, or can they keep it to single figures? I think at this point, if you kept it in single figures, now that's not a cause of celebration, but I think that would be seen as one of the better ends of the scale on this. So I think there's that. And I just think on the furlough scheme, the reason, even though Labour this week are piling on more pressure to say, you know, extend it for certain industries, though they're quite reluctant to say which industries, ultimately there's now a sense that we've had these emergency measures. There has not been a vaccine. We don't have faith there's about to be a vaccine. You can't just keep giving people a proportion of a salary for a job that probably doesn't exist. And that's not just economic grounds. It's also a sense in the Treasury that people will not be retraining or adjusting, and I hate to use the phrase again, the new normal, if they are on furlough for, you know, another 4 or 5 months. So we're heading to a difficult period, but I think there's a sense that it cannot be avoided, and at some point you just have to tear the plaster off.
Katie, you said that we're going into a difficult period. One of the big decisions that the government is facing, or one of the big problems, is the reopening of schools in September next month. There was new research out today from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine that suggested that the current track and trace system might not be up to scratch if we're going to be sending children back to school.
Yes, I think that if you think about the backdrop looking to schools and the reopening, this is not the backdrop the government wanted. In the past 2 weeks, and remember, schools in England are supposed to reopen in September, in Scotland it's a bit earlier, we've had the Prime Minister himself warning of a second wave. We've had last minute change to tourists in Spain. And now I think you have people looking at the effectiveness of test and trace. And on the back of Chris Whitty's comments last week, the chief medical officer saying, you know, ultimately we've opened up as much as we can, probably. For some more things to open, things have to close. You have this study suggesting that actually were schools to add to everything, it could get too much. You could start to have a second wave. Now, I think what is interesting here is some people are saying, well, are we going to have a repeat of what happened last time around, which was there was a government promise to get all pupils in primary schools back before the summer holidays, and they failed to do it. And they had to renege on that promise, and they came up with the September one. So are we going to see another slowing down? I think that is highly unlikely. I think that in government, it is almost viewed as non-negotiable that schools have to open for everyone in September. Even the idea of having a rota system in secondary schools is currently getting heavy pushback from the government. Now, if you are looking for a ladder to climb down, you might think you would say, well, everyone will be back at some time, but they're going pretty hard on this. So I think that in the pub schools dilemma, schools win, but at the moment the government are keen to say that it's a false choice. Now, part of the reason for this is because it comes down to the local lockdown strategy. And because now they think bubble sizes are under control, there is a sense that schools will reopen in September. If there is a local outbreak, localised outbreak, and local, it seems, if you look at recent reports, could be in London, then those schools might not open for a time because they could be under local lockdown. But as a country, and obviously it's slightly different depending on where you are in the UK, schools are going to open September. So I think there's just a sense that they cannot afford to take the hit again of not reopening. But the worry is, even if the government is pressing ahead and they succeed in that, all these stories, what are they going to do? We know there's a massive problem of uptake when things open. Repeatedly, parents have suggested that in large swathes, they're a bit worried about sending pupils back. I think there were some encouraging signs over the summer that people were coming around to it. But I do think a flurry of stories, whether it's indirectly about a second wave or directly about the risk of schools, is not going to help with that.
Katie, to pick up on a really important point there, this new study out from UCL and the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, which Ross Clark talks about on the blog, suggests that the second spike of COVID could be twice as large as the first spike. Now, Ross takes major issue with this on the blog. He points out that many of the scenarios that the study factors in might not be the case. We may have more immunity come winter, we just don't know yet. And those are all points that are very well taken. But the fundamental problem here is that when you have studies like that released, often without context or without counterbalance, you'll be frightening a lot of parents into thinking that this will be the case, and it just isn't safe to send kids to school. Now, when we send out our lunchtime COVID e-newsletter, we are often featuring studies that say very different things about children and their ability to spread the virus. Some studies around the world suggest that they are little super spreaders. Others suggest actually it's not so bad. There's conflicting evidence on that. But one thing that is pretty consistent is that kids are just very, very, very unlikely to suffer severe symptoms of the virus. And that is a message that really needs to be said over and over again. The last thing I note is that the real criticism coming out of this UCL study isn't really about sending kids back to school. It's whether or not a substantial track and trace system is in place. And this is also key because you can talk about opening or closing schools, pubs, restaurants, big events, small events, the like. The question always comes back to, if there were to be an outbreak in any of these places, can we figure out who has the virus and can we properly quarantine these people and get them any medical treatment that they need? It's becoming increasingly clear here in the UK that we're not at that point yet. We can't substantially track and trace to the point that we'd like to be able to make it really local and really specific. That's going to cause problems not just for schools, but really for every aspect of life going into the winter.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Kate. Get 12 weeks of The Spectator in print and online for just £12. And we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.